Oscar. Oscar, I think that was the Oscar Mayer Wiener. I don't know. That was in band. And I don't know where I got it, but I was Oscar in band. In fact, some kids in band throughout the entire high school didn't know my real name. It was Oscar. My brothers like to give me one Edith. That one I didn't like so much, but that's why they called me Edith. My oldest brother said I was acted a little bit like Edith Bunker. You remember in that? I don't know. He just didn't like me very much when I was in high school because I was an embarrassment to my older brother. But that one stuck for a while, Edith. There are others, I won't mention them all. In fact, some of them you probably had that you wouldn't want to mention to people. But I had a lot of nicknames. I don't know some of those nicknames. Perhaps to the person who gave me the nickname described me in some way. Silvertooth, of course. Hey, the Silvertooth. You know, Walrus, well, that was just kind of a whatever. Some of them did in some way describe us, at least to the person who gave you the nickname. Well, Jesus had a whole lot of names given to him. You could call them nicknames or whatever you want, but there were a lot of names that have been given to him. And when I look at all the names that are given to Jesus, I think, I'd love to be buddies with someone like this because of all the descriptive words that are used for this one called Jesus. Mary herself was to give him a name before he was born. And you remember in the story what that name was. It was Jesus, the one that is primarily used by those of us in the Gentile tradition. To the Jews, some of them called him Messiah, but others would give him the more personal name, Jesus. But Jesus, what did it mean? What does the name Jesus mean? It means God help or deliverer. Think about that. God help would be a more of a literal translation. Deliverer. This was the one named Jesus. And when I think about what does that mean to you and to me? If his name is deliverer, then he must be a deliverer. And who is it that needs delivering? Me and you. Jesus would be God's answer to our dilemma. He would be the answer. We were in trouble, and he would deliver us. In another verse in Luke, which we didn't read this morning, but about the story about Jesus, the Messiah, the one who was to be born, it says right there in that text, he will be called, listen to this, the Son of God. Listen to this. We've talked about Jesus and his human attributes, his humanity. Some of these names given to Jesus really highlight some of his human attributes. But there are other names given to Jesus that highlight what his divine attributes as well. And certainly this is one of them. Son of God. The Son of God. Not a Son of God. The Son of God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Now that must mean if Jesus is the Son of God, that he must be directly related to God, right? He had access to God. We know he was God, come in human flesh. Now, you and I, when we look at how we are related to God, it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, that we are adopted. That we aren't fully divine. We're human. And we were adopted into his family. We have sonship in his family, given to us by God. We were adopted. Jesus was God come in human flesh. We recognize that. Now, looking in the Isaiah text this morning that were read, here are some names given to him. And I want you to think about these names for a minute. In some of our translations, Wonderful Counselor is put together as Wonderful Counselor. In other translation, it says Wonderful Counselor. Means comma, just so you know. And I prefer to see it as Wonderful Counselor. Because I want to give the full value to this wonderful. Think about it. I mean, when you have a friend who you just love so much, you say, oh, they're wonderful. They're wonderful. Wonderful, in a sense, means there's just nothing bad about this person. They're just wonderful. I just think they're wonderful. You know, I hope you'd say that about your spouse. Oh, they're just wonderful. There's not a flaw they have. Well, okay, we need to be honest, too. But wonderful. When I think about Jesus being given the name Wonderful, think of wonder, awe, reverence, respect, amazing. I think of words like that when I think of this one who is going to be given the name Wonderful. Is that what it conjures up in your mind? Right there in Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7. Wonderful. And then it goes after Wonderful. It talks about Counselor. We need someone who is our Counselor. Because we go through a lot of stuff in our life that we just don't get. We don't understand. We don't know why maybe we have to suffer in a certain way. We may not know why God placed us in the place that He put us right now in our life. Maybe we were in a better place earlier and now we're in kind of a crappy place. Or whatever it is, and we wonder, oh, do we need a Counselor? Think about it. He was given the name Counselor. Greater than any psychologist or psychiatrist you might ever have. I'm not saying that these things are not needed for us. They are. I think there's a valuable occupation that helps people through some of their stuff. But overarching all of that even more so is the need for the Counselor, Big C. This Messiah that was to come, this babe that was to be born in Isaiah, this one that was to be born was going to be called Counselor. Power to the powerless. The conqueror over sin. This one who is going to be called Counselor would be the one that you and I could go to at all times in our life, no matter what is going on, no matter what we have done, or no matter what has been done to us, no matter what context we find ourselves in, He would be the one who you could come to and He would give us some sense of solace. He'd help us to understand you're going to get through this, no matter what it is, good, bad, or otherwise. Counselor, when I think about the many names, no matter how you spell it, this Jesus who we're talking about this morning, He was also called Counselor. Now, these words that were used up till now in Isaiah could be seen somewhat as human attributes. Wonderful. Counselor, we might use that for people. You know, he or she's a great counselor. They're wonderful people. You can't mistake the next one for a human attribute. This is a divine attribute, just so you know. Mighty God? That's not a human attribute. Right here we've got Jesus is being called Mighty God. And just so that we're sure about this, were you sure that they're talking about Jesus in this one? Well, listen to it once again. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Did you hear me? He will be called. So there's no doubt here whatsoever who we're referring to is this one that is to be born. He will be called Mighty God. That's a divine attribute. This one whom we serve, this one who the disciples came in contact on nearly a daily basis for those 3 years in public ministry, they were walking beside Mighty God. You know what? Mighty God is walking with you and me. Isn't that cool? Mighty God is walking around with you and me through the Holy Spirit that resides within our hearts as believers in Jesus Christ. If you claim that, Mighty God is walking along with you and me. I think that's kind of cool. It's like, yo, I got no problem with God being with me. You think you can mess with me? You go ahead and try to mess with me. Guess who's with me? Mighty God. And if you kill me, so what? Guess what? I'm going to spend eternity with Him. Don't you like that? Feels kind of, I'm a guy. I like power, you know. I mean, guy feels me. Mighty God. Mighty God. Jesus Christ is Mighty God. That's a name that's given to Him. He is the power, as I said earlier, power to the powerless. He's the one who conquered sin. Mighty God, that's a name given to Him. And in case you didn't catch it the first time, there's another name that was given to Him. Everlasting Father. Same text. You know what I like about that one? Everlasting Father says there's a parent when there is none. You know, I have my in-laws, but my flesh and blood parents are gone now. But I still have my everlasting Father. I've got my in-laws too, and I love them to death, but I have my everlasting Father. For those of you who are fatherless, you have an everlasting Father. For those of you who are parentless, you have an everlasting Father. Isn't that cool? Is that cool? It's cool. It's cool, yeah. A parent where there is none, or a parent where we as parents fail, there's an everlasting Father that never fails. He brings stability to our life. You know, there is that whole imagery, and like I say, everlasting Father. I like the term Father, but I like even more the term Daddy, because Daddy is that intimate phrase that we use. But He's one who brings stability to our life. You know, He's that one that's always there when there's chaos all around us. You know, I remember when I would come home from school or whatever, and it was a mess that day. You know, it was nice to know that Mom and Dad were there. They brought stability to my life when it felt like things were going. You've ever had a day? Yeah, okay. I don't know how to describe those days. I just throw that out there, and they're whatever they are to you. We all have those kind of days. Everlasting Father means relationship, doesn't it? See, Mighty God, you don't get as much of that relationship language in there, do you? This is the divine attributes of God. Mighty God almost seems like God out there. But an Everlasting Father, what do you got? You got God right here. Everlasting Father. Everlasting Daddy. He is about relationship. So I want you to understand that when we gather together as Christians on a Sunday, it's about relationship. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. A relationship with our everlasting Father. Isn't that awesome? Here's another one. Now this one, we may not see as much of this is a divine attribute. We might see it in a human attribute. But you certainly saw the divine in the last two, and you've seen human attributes as well. But here is the other one. Prince of Peace. Oh boy, do we need Prince of Peace. At a micro level, when I have chaos in my life, I need the Prince of Peace. We need the Prince of Peace in the macro level, too. When we think our world is out of control, when we think everything that's going on right now is like whacked out, oh, isn't it good to know we have the Prince of Peace? That means He's the head over peace. It means He's got it covered. And we see in the Gospel of John when He talks about the peace I give to you is not the peace the world gives. It's a whole different kind of peace, because my peace overcomes the chaos. My peace is an umbrella over all that stuff. You can have peace even when there's crap going on in the world. There's still peace. Still peace. He's the calm after the storm. He's the calm even during the storm. He's our shelter. He's the answer to what's warring in our soul and warring in our life. Here's some other descriptive words I'm going to leave you with that weren't in the text that were read this morning, but I want to. These are words given to this person called Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. He has given other words as well. I'm going to throw some out to you as I close this morning, just to give you an idea, no matter how you spell it, He's still Jesus. Living water in John chapter 4, and the living bread in John chapter 6, verse 35. What's that say to me if He's the living water and the living bread? He's food for the hungry. I mean the hungry of soul. He's food for the hungry. We are starving and we need water. We need bread. We need something that's going to last. And He is that living bread and that living water. So when we see those terms given to Jesus, we see He's there for the hungry. Here's another one. Freedom for the prisoners in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He's there for the oppressed, for the prisoner. Sometimes we are imprisoned by our own doing, And sometimes we are oppressed or imprisoned by others' wrongdoing. But whatever the case is, he is freedom for the prisoner. So here is a title given that deals with those who feel they are oppressed. Four more. The resurrection. You need to know he's the resurrection when you're dying. You need to know that Jesus is called the resurrection when you're dying, because you know the one who died and rose again will also raise you and me, our heavenly bodies. He's the resurrection. So what that means to you and me is we don't have to fear death. I know death scares us a bit anyway. Sometimes it's how we die. We don't know how we're going to die or whatever, but we don't have to be. Because he says, I'm the resurrection, and you who trust in me are going to raise from the dead as well and have a heaven to home with me. John 11:25, if you want to know. Another one. He is the sure foundation. Isaiah 28:16. He's called the sure foundation. What's that mean to you and me? This is for the doubters. This is for the doubters. He is the sure foundation. Everything else can shake all over the place. The earthquakes and the volcanoes and the tornadoes and the hurricanes and the whatever. He is the sure foundation. Even the gentleman in the gospel that said, you know, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. You know, he is there to help us who are doubting that he is the sure foundation. With whatever little bit of faith you have, just trust him, because he is the sure foundation. A name given to him, Jesus. Matthew 23:37 says that he is like a mother hen. Now, I didn't have chickens growing up. My brother has chickens now at the family farm. They just wander around and peck at whatever. Sometimes even people, but no, they're good chickens. You can go visit my brother and you're not going to be attacked. He did have a rooster at one point that was a little bit, you know. But anyway, a mother hen that just gathers the chicks around and takes care of them. You get that imagery that Jesus was also called a mother hen. He's there for the lonely. He's there for the lonely. When you feel like you're all alone, know that Jesus, like a mother hen, God like a mother hen, the Holy Spirit like a mother hen, wrapping those wings around you and say, you know what, you're okay. You're going to be okay. Even when you feel you're all alone, you're not all alone. One more I'll leave you with, or we could go on forever and you'll get hungry. He is strength to the poor. Isaiah. I think I put down Isaiah 25:4. For those who are distressed, for those who feel like they lack, he is strength to the poor. You know, I think of all these words and I think, you know what? If you ever wanted that be-all friend, he's that be-all friend, isn't he? Because none of these words adequately describe Jesus. That's why we got tons of them in Scripture. If you want to describe the Messiah or you want to describe God himself, there's so many words to use to describe them. I mean, the one word that's used that's the one above all the other ones is the great I am. I mean, you think of I am, it's like, I mean, think of that. If I called myself Bill, I said, hey, Bill, I am. I mean, doesn't that sound like you covered it all? I'm not, but I just wanted to use that as an example. You know, the I am is one name that's used that kind of overarches all the other ones. But here he is with all these names, and all these names describe this one whom is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And by all those names, he's still Jesus, the one that we claim as our Lord and Savior. So as we move into this new year, I just want to remind you of how awesome, how big, how indescribable is the one whom we call our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he is so big, yet he's so intimate. He's right here for you and me. Cares about each and every one of us. No one's too small, insignificant, tainted, poisoned, sin-filled. No one's too much of that, that he won't say, you know what? I want you to. I want you to. I think that's awesome. Do you? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. By all those names and many others, thank you for Jesus. God, I pray this morning we perhaps as we've rehearsed some of these names given and understand what the meaning is behind them, that it just amazes us even more that we could have a relationship with God come in human flesh. Jesus, thank you for that relationship. Help us to live in gratitude and help us to understand we really do have it made with Christ as our Savior. There's nothing, even death itself, that can take that away from us. For that, we are grateful and we are thankful. In his precious name, we pray.